Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Stream the show on the new ESPN Chicago app. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now, on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Woo! So, Chris Bryant goes on Redline Radio and says that he's not having as much fun playing the game. And then everyone's like, really? You're not having fun being a Cub, making millions of dollars? And Jesse Rogers aggregates the story, puts zero opinion in, simply aggregates his quotes and a little context. Here's what's going on. People are firing on Jesse, and Chris tweets, come on, ESPN, that's clickbait, be better than that. It's all his quotes. Hoodie, these guys don't understand how the media works.
I don't understand how Chris Bryant works. In that same piece that Jesse wrote on ESPN.com, you can see it right now, mm-hmm. Bryant said at one point, he says, I don't give an S. He says, I really don't. That's a good answer. I'm over it. Sometimes I go out there and go 4-for-4, and it's not good enough for some people. I don't give an S. And my thought is, like, when did the heel turn start for Chris Bryant? In this city, you've won a World Series championship, and you struggle like the rest of the Cubs lineup. So no one's singling out Bryant saying that you're the reason why the offense can't move. It's a whole team thing to the point where people thought, well, maybe it's time for a new manager, so that's why Ross is in place and Madden's with the Los Angeles Angels. But I'm just here to tell you, Cap, I have never taken, before I was on this show or on the show, said, that Chris Bryant, that guy's got to go because of blah, 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 blah. No one's going after Bryant. Who's he talking about?
I have no idea. He said, oh, my God, when I heard about the trade rumors, hey, dude, toughen up. Drop a pair and toughen up. That goes on every day with almost every athlete. If you're not LeBron James, everyone's name gets speculated.
But who is saying on the regular basis, this Bryant, let me tell you.
Agreed.
This guy, who's saying that?
Nobody.
I don't know. If maybe it's his social media. Maybe that's what it is because, hey, he's a young player. And so now he's probably looking at social media trying to find someone that supports him. And this is where we are here in 2021. You look for support on social media. But I don't know if any talk show host in this town on a regular basis that's just ripping Chris Bryant.
He's a great, nice man. He's a good person.
But he changed, man.
He did.
He changed. When he was in spring training a couple years ago and took an hour, hour and a half to explain how much money that the Cubs offered or did not offer, like that's not the Chris Bryant I know. He just took it upon himself to just hold court and tell the press what Theo was and was not doing. I was like, you don't do that in the public. You don't do that, but
no,
he did.
He did. Here's Chris Bryant on Redline Radio, Barstool Redline Radio. Are you still having fun playing baseball, KB?
That's a great question. A really good question. At times, no. At times, it really got to me sometimes, like just – the stuff I was hearing, and I think I talked about this a little bit, like 2018, like the first trade rumors that started to pop up, like that really got to me. And then like, I found myself like, man, is this even fun anymore? Like, why did I start playing this game? You know, because it was fun. You know, obviously there's a lot of other stuff involved. Like you make a ton of money and there's fame and all this, but it's like, you got to get yourself back to why I started playing. And like, I just remember my first home run, running around the bases. My dad picks me up after around third. I don't even touch home plate, but like, that's the kind of joy that you got to find. And like, I found myself sitting there, like, I don't have that joy right now. So it's like, I'm trying all I can to kind of get back to that place. And like, I look back on this year, like it was really rough for me personally. And like,
yeah. And he was upset by it. Now he's upset by what people are saying. Who are they?
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Okay, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to give Chris Bryant what he wants, right? I'm going to give you what he wants. So Chris Bryant, the only player in baseball history to win the College Player of the Year, Minor League Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, and MVP in four consecutive seasons, but hit 203. He battled injuries. You know what, Bryant? You should have been there for the Cubs. when someone needed to have someone to try to get them out of their doldrums offensively, where were you, Chris Bryant? You know, I put this all on you. This Cubs team couldn't hit, but you could have been the catalyst for it. Is that what Bryant wants? Is that what he wants? Is that what he's? Because I haven't said that at all.
None of us have.
So, but I guess that's what he wants. So I'm gonna give it to him today. I mean, and then you go after Jesse. Jesse is pretty much quoting what you said. It said it must be a slow news day. I didn't, you know, took it out of context.
Like what did he take out of context?
He's like Charles Barkley saying that my autobiography was taken out of context. It was misquoted.
Right. You wrote it. It's your quotes. Danny, what'd you think about the KB stuff? Nice man. He's been on this show. I like Chris very much. I just found what he did yesterday, tweeting, be better, ESPN, was at Jesse. I just found it to be delusional.
Be better.
I think KB's a little bit misguided right now. I think he's lost as a person and as a baseball player. I think his whole life he's had success on every level, and he's finally struggling now, and he doesn't know where to turn that anger and aggression, so he decided to take it out on Jesse. Here's what I think. Chris Bryant agreed to do that Red Line podcast, thinking that it was some small podcast and nobody would hear what he had to say. Then all of a sudden, when a guy like Jesse Rogers, who works for the four-letter network, ESPN, writes the story, and KB realizes, oh boy, I said that, now people are going to hear it. What a mistake. He decides to go after Jesse. KB needs to keep his mouth shut. And he's just another reason, and as a Cub fan, and we spent the whole day yesterday talking about Cap deciding to cheer for the Sox, as a Cub fan, what KB did makes it even harder to root for my favorite baseball team. Like, we are at a point where, as Cub fans, we really want to love the Cubs and root for them, even though they're rebuilding. And then KB comes out and says that, and it's like, what am I rooting for here? Like, what's a positive direction this team's headed in?
Jeffrey, what did you think as a unbiased observer? You heard Herdy and I, Danny, this is a guy, Chris Bryant, who was, I mean, you're thinking, well, Michael Jordan is, you know, the greatest basketball player. Chris Bryant's going to go down as one of the greatest Cubs of, like, legendary status. And boy, has he fallen from that spot.
I think sometimes there's a disconnect for athletes when they sit down in a long form, do an interview. They think, okay, I can frame this, give you, like, it's a long form, you know, he gave them, you know, more than a couple minutes. And so they think, okay, if I do this interview, I can actually explain myself and give you the full context of everything. But sometimes they fail to recognize that it doesn't matter how much time you use to explain yourself. Everything in the social media landscape that we're living in is going to be reduced to, I don't want to say the juiciest quotes, but the things that people think, okay, that's an interesting soundbite. You are not having as much fun playing baseball as you did when you started it. To hear an athlete vocalize that in their own words is news for a lot of people when they're 28 years old. You know, it's, we're not talking about a guy who's at the end of the road here. And so I think he's thinking, okay, I'm going to lay it all out there, give you a long form interview. I don't even think he thought necessarily that he was going on some small podcast that wasn't going to be heard. I just think he thinks, okay, I'm going to give you my full thoughts and you'll be able to hear them. And then this is what happens with this. Hey, advice to every athlete out there. Whatever you say, it doesn't matter if you take an hour to explain it. It's going to be reduced to the one or two key sound bites that catch everyone's attention, right?
Sure, and that's only fair.
And that's what Jesse writes an entire article. You can see plenty of full quotes in there. But in order for us to stop scrolling, right, our phones, when we're on Twitter or you're on Facebook, in order to stop, to get you to stop, I got to give you the meat, the what's going to catch
Chris
your
Bryant
attention.
Not having fun.
And so you can call it clickbait, because fine, I guess by definition, that's what it is. But the reality is that's the world we're living in. Here's the juicy soundbite. And if you choose to click on it and then read the rest of the quotes that are all in Jesse's stories, then there, it's there for you.
Yeah, you know what it is, Jeff? There is a profound sadness with Chris Bryant when you listen to that soundbite and then read further some of his quotes. You know, he talked about how he had so much joy as a kid playing baseball, almost childlike in that regard, right? Mm-hmm. You're a grown ass man now. You're a father. You're a World Series. You are.
You got a kid.
Yes, that's yours.
He has a child. Yeah, I mean, here's a guy here that is a grown ass man. He talked about the joy of baseball when he was a kid, where I didn't even touch home plate because my dad was there to pick me up. Like, that's great, but things have changed now. you know, he knew exactly what he was saying, Cap, because he's got to be smart enough to realize that you, if it's a big podcast, small podcast, if it's an FM hip-hop station, if it's a country station, if you're on, people are recording what you say. Mm-hmm. And if he feels like he's sad or feels like the Cubs haven't treated him right, whatever, that's going to be recorded. That's not. I mean, I guess every column can be considered clickbait. Anything that you read online can be like, oh, there's a headline, let me click it. Of course. But you said it, though. That's the bottom line. You
correct.
Still said it.
It's your quote. That's what I don't understand. And he's, again, I've worked with him many times, done radio, TV. He's a super nice dude. His parents are awesome. But boy, has his star dimmed in this city, and not just because of injury. That's the point.
He says he doesn't have joy right now. What do you read into that? That maybe that should be a Danny armchair nutritionist question. There's some sadness there. A little COVID-19, of course, him not being able to play well. There's some sadness there. There's a cloud over this kid.
I think Chris Bryant's never dealt with serious adversity in his entire life. Like, this is a guy that's been great at baseball since he was 8 years old. You know, I have a 7-year-old son who plays baseball. You know the kids that are the best on the team. Chris Bryant was that kid, right?
Yeah.
Went to high school, best on the team. Probably had all the friends in the world. All the girls love him. You know, he gets to college. He's the player of the year. The road's been golden for Chris Bryant. He's hit some bumps in the road. People are turning on him. He's not playing good baseball. The Cubs don't want to throw boatloads of money at him. He just doesn't know how to deal with the adversity, and he's just not happy. Plus, you throw in the pandemic. Like, who in this world right now is at their happiest to begin with? It's a tough time just to be in the world. And on top of that, you know, he's kind of, I don't know.
A jag?
Yes.
Oh.
That's what he is.
But see, if he was
kind of a jag.
I didn't want to use that word, but I'll let you do it, honey.
But see, if you guys were no microphones, no cameras, we were hanging out with him, you'd be like, what a good dude. He's as good a dude as you'll find.
Right.
I mean, there is not a mean bone in that guy's body. Just a nice person. But out of touch with reality?
Fair.
I think that's a fair statement. Mm-hmm.
Can I take you behind the curtain? Because I don't know what Chris Bryant you're seeing, but I've had an interaction with Chris Bryant.
Uh-oh.
When we used to be downstairs on the beautiful State Street studio, Chris Bryant was in.
I remember this.
David Bodie story.
Chris Bryant wasn't as bad as David Bodie. I mean, David Bodie's just a jag. But
kind of a jag.
I like you, David. I like you.
Sing it with me. Kind of a jag.
We should get that song by Adam Levine, Moves Like Jagger, every time we tell a story about a jag just playing in the background.
Just have it.
But so Chris Bryant was on Windy City Live, which is filmed in the same building that we do our show in. When we were downstairs on the State Street studio, their studio is literally 30 yards away from our studio. So Chris Bryant was in, and he was going to promote either Express or Red Bull. He was doing something with one of these big companies.
It was Express.
Express. He was here to do an interview. So their producer sends me a text and says, hey, Chris Bryant is in our green room. We don't need him for an hour if you guys want to grab him. So I go into the green room. It's Chris Bryant and his wife sitting in the green room and a makeup artist. Nobody else there.
Can I stop you for 1 second? Just for some background. Danny says, I'll be right back. It's just me and Black then. Chris Bryant's in the green room. I'll go get him. And I go, oh, dude, you're going to love him. He's awesome. He comes back, and not only is he mad at Chris, he's firing on me.
So I go in, right, and I say, hey, how you doing, Chris? My name is Danny Zetterman. I'm with ESPN Radio. I'm David Kaplan's producer. Now, David Kaplan with a Cubs player is the in, right? Everybody in the Cubs organization knows Cap.
Yep.
Chris Bryant does not look up from the floor. I say my name, who I am, where I'm from. He does not raise his head to even look at me. No eye contact. His wife says to me, we're not interested. I said, we're 30 yards away. I was told you have nothing to do for an hour. It's Cap. We'll just talk some Cubs. It'll literally be 8 minutes of your time. You'll be right back in this room. I told you we're not interested. We're not doing the interview. Chris Bryant, the whole time she's talking to me like that, does not raise his head from the floor. He doesn't even look at me like I don't exist.
Wow. This was how long ago? 3 years ago?
Maybe two. Two summers ago.
And it wasn't
ago.
Like he and I weren't getting along because I think I interviewed him that afternoon at the ballpark.
I was like, at least look at me, Chris. Like, aren't you interested in what I look like? No.
Look at me.
acknowledge I'm alive, Chris Bryant. Please.
Look at me.
Yeah. Crazy. All the moves like Jagger. I've got them moves like Jagger. I've got them moves.
Mick Jagger.
So, yeah, and I remember that afternoon, Danny, I interviewed him for TV later. He's like, oh, I can just tell you, he wouldn't even look at me. Yeah.
He could have said, no, I'm not interested. I just want to sit here. I'm busy, whatever. But acknowledge the fact that a human being is speaking to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be social media, Cap, because no one's taking Chris Bryant to task. Now, I did it just in this first segment only because I hadn't done it before. Because my whole thing with the Cubs and their ineptitude offensively is, why can't a good team hit?
Right.
That's all.
Those are good players.
I asked Theo. I was like, have you ever been around a ball club that on paper should be able to hit the hell out of the ball and can't? Well, last time we talked to Theo. I mean, so it wasn't just pointing him out specifically, but there is a profound sadness with him that I don't get. Yeah, you're struggling. You're not being able to be the player that you once was. But Rizzo could say the same thing. And Baez can say the same thing.
They don't.
And Contreras can say the same thing, you know?
But they don't.
And Hayward could have said the same thing.
No question.
So, you know, so I mean, I don't know. I just, here's the last thing you want to do. When you're struggling like this, the last thing you want to be is unlikable.
And you know what it reminds me of? Mark Pryor. So I had this amazing relationship. I get him on all the time. And then I saw him one day, and I said, what's up, buddy? Hey, you okay? No, I'm so sick of this town and this media and the fan base. I'm like, excuse me? He was joyless. Mark Pryor. And he ends up leaving here. He's injured. Career ends. He tries comebacks. The whole deal. I interview him in San Diego for the movie Five Outs. Mm-hmm. And we set up on the roof of the Marriott outside Petco Park. He's working for the Padres as a pitching instructor. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, any regrets as you look back? Now, this is him armed with 10 years later after 03. And he said, yeah. He said, I got so focused on every fifth day, what do I have to do? Do this, do that. He said, I had no joy, and that's on me. He said, I was playing in the greatest city in the country for sports. I loved being a Cub, and I didn't enjoy it at all. He said, and that will never, ever happen again. And
wow, that's perspective.
Yeah, and he grew up from that experience. So when he made another comeback, he said to his wife, okay, I'm going to pitch in Cincinnati for the Cincinnati Reds minor league team. He goes, I'm in Class A Dayton. We're going to go eat where people in Dayton eat for breakfast. We're going to go to the zoo. We're going to go do whatever it is they do in Dayton. And then the next stop, Louisville, we're going to do that. And if you're traveling with me and we're in Midland, Texas, we're going to enjoy every single second because I didn't the first time. I wonder if Chris will ever get that perspective.
Yeah, that was those dusty Cubs, right? Pressure cooker.
Pressure cooker. Exactly right.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Can you think of another star athlete that has had such a steep fall from grace in our city? Good dude, Chris Bryant. Your perspectives, 312-332-3776.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
So Chris Bryant goes on the Barstool Sports Redline Radio podcast, which is awesome radio. It's great. Mm-hmm. Listen. Great. He's on there, and he's asked, are you still having fun playing baseball? Take a listen again.
That's a great question. A really good question. At times, no. At times, it really got to me sometimes, like just the stuff I was hearing. And I think I talked about this a little bit, like 2018, like the first trade rumors that started to pop up, like that really got to me. And then, like, I found myself like, man, is this even fun anymore? Like, why did I start playing this game? You know, because it was fun. You know, obviously there's a lot of other stuff involved. Like, you make a ton of money and there's fame and all this, but it's like, you got to get yourself back to why I started playing. And like, I just remember my first home run, running around the bases. My dad picks me up after around third. I don't even touch home plate, but like, that's the kind of joy that you got to find. And like, I found myself sitting there like, I don't have that joy right now. So it's like, I'm trying all I can to kind of get back to that place. And like, I look back on this year, like, it was really rough for me personally. And like,
So rough for him. The first trade room. I mean, Chris, you're a major league player making insane money playing a kid's game on one of the most marketable, visible franchises in American sports. So there's a trade rumor. Who gives a blank?
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you just have to be able to control your own destiny by doing whatever you do. If you get traded, that's the thing. That's just part of business. You do realize that along with baseball, it is a business. So you got to understand the business side of things. You're not a kid. Okay, you're a grown man that realizes that you've underachieved, just like the rest of your teammates, you've underachieved as well. And so there's a possibility that you could go someplace else. Now, my whole take on that, Cap, is that when you go after Jesse for quoting what you said.
Yeah, that's just out of touch.
That's just weird.
Agreed.
And I think he's had some kind of heel turn.
Yeah.
And it might be because of his inability to be able to hit the baseball like he used to.
Right.
It's just a slump, but it doesn't mean that that's who he is.
Correct. We understand there was COVID at all of it.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Let's go to the phones. 312-332-3776. Randy is on the Edens. Hey, Randy, what's up?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hi, Randy.
So I'm just calling, you know, and listen, I haven't read what you guys are talking about. I've only listened to what you're saying, so I don't have the whole story, obviously. But based on what you're saying, I look at it this way. Chris Bryant's just giving an honest answer. He's telling you how he truly feels. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I think it's ridiculous he gets ripped apart for giving an honest answer. Well, you know, hear all the time about people complaining about pro athletes. Just give your standard answers. That's all you ever hear from these guys. That's why.
I guess my whole thought on it, Randy, though, is that he can say whatever he wants. That's not the reason why we brought this up. We're bringing it up because he goes after Jesse and says it's just clickbait. Like, why are you bringing this up? He feels like he was misquoted in his own podcast.
Okay, let me interrupt you. Just so we're clear, Randy, Hoodie, you were being critical, as I was. I could speak for me.
Yeah.
I'm not criticizing that he's saying. I can't tell him how to feel. If that's how he feels, God bless him.
Right.
What I'm being critical of, Randy, is he's mad at Jesse and ESPN for his quotes. That's my problem.
Yeah, that's the issue. Like, you can say whatever you want, Randy. Like, you could just tell that he's going through some kind of mental hurdles in that he is not being able to hit the ball well. He says he's not having fun. Well, we got to kind of delve into that. Why isn't he having fun? And then when Jesse brings it up and quotes exactly what he says, and he pisses on it, that doesn't make sense to me.
That's where my problem is. It's not.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. I didn't know the whole story. I don't know what his deal is with Jesse right now.
Yeah, just go on and go on.
That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, go on and read it, because the media did zero wrong. Lord knows our business has made our share of mistakes.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Lord knows.
Yep.
You know, you see something splashed on the front page and then it's not true and there's a retraction. That's a tiny little mention 42 pages in. I get why athletes or celebrities or people they cover go, no, that's not true. That's, not to use that term, but fake. I get it.
Yep.
That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is he gave this insightful, honest, from the heart answer. God bless him. I love it. Don't go after Jesse when he aggregates your quotes.
Now, I'll say this also about athletes that are forthcoming that want to say what's off the top of their head. Keep in mind that whatever you say, people will have an opinion on it. I'm here every day, 15 hours a week with Cap. There's going to be some things that are said that I feel that people are going to be like, well, I disagree with that. I disagree with your stance on this, whatever it is, right? Same thing with you.
Mm-hmm.
You say something and people will say, you said this exactly. I don't agree with what you're saying. So same thing with Chris Bryant. You got to realize that you're not in some bubble. You're not in college baseball anymore, pal. That there's going to be some things that you say that people will disagree with. And for him to say that he feels like he's not having fun, we got to figure out why that's the case.
Yep.
And then when someone delves into that more and you get pissed off about it, that's on you. That's a you problem.
Well said. Let's go to Mark. Hey, Mark, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. I am here to defend Chris because, first of all, I mean, you guys are calling him a grown-ass man. I get it. He's you know, he's got a kid and everything.
He's 29 years old. He's a man.
Yeah, SpongeBob was still – he was still watching SpongeBob, Cap, when you were on television. I mean, he's still a kid.
He's not a kid.
He's not a kid. He's going to be 30.
I tell you what, Mark, here's the parallel to that. If Draymond Green said those things, he's not allowed to be a 29-year-old kid. I'm just using it as an example. He's a man that is responsible for his own quotes. That's all I'm saying.
I probably defend Draymond, too. But what I'm calling mainly is because he's an athlete in the social media era. He's carrying a little computer around everywhere he goes. When Sammy Sosa started in the league, if Sammy Sosa was struggling, if Sammy Sosa had a hard time hitting at any given time, he didn't have to see the anything. The papers he didn't have to read, the television he didn't have to watch. But now you've got these players who they're carrying around these mini computers, and even if they don't see the article, they're getting 150 texts from all these people saying, "Did you see this? Did you see this? Did you see this?" They're getting it retweeted. They're getting it shared on Facebook. You got to give him credit that it's got to be a little bit harder. And the fact that he's gone this long before making a quote like that, I defend him for that reason, because he's carrying around, like I said, a little computer in his hand. Every player is now. And so it's got to be harder now to keep your sanity when everything could blow up at any given second. I just think that's way harder than athletes have had in the past.
Yeah, we'll agree to disagree. He's not a kid. He's just not, but appreciate the call, Mark. 312-332-3776. Louis Riddick sees a possible marriage between the Bears and Deshaun Watson. We said Deshaun Watson. Next.
Take that.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
Cap and J Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Jonathan Hood. I'm David Kaplan. 312-332-3776. L. Riddick. Great Louis Riddick, who's been a frequent guest on this show. He's on with Waddle and Sylvie all the time.
Unbelievable.
Awesome, awesome dude. He was on.
Don't look at me like that, Danny. My God.
Look at these two rolling their eyes at each other.
Don't be looking at me like that, Danny. We're doing a show. Worry about it. We got it going here. We're fine.
I can't look at you. What do you want me to look at? You want me to look at the floor like Chris Bryant did to me?
It's unbelievable. Just like the most popular room on this floor is the bathroom.
Well, people got to go.
My God. We just started. Phones ringing off the hook. We're going to get ourselves a Girl Friday attention to the phones around here.
Are they screened? Now you're complaining just to complain.
It's Friday.
Wow. Louis Riddick was on with Mike Greenberg, Greeny, and the question was asked about the Bears and some quarterback that they passed on named Deshaun.
And then I read your tweet on the air that is now 43 minutes old, but someone named Derek Connor tweeted at you that Watson should go to the Chicago Bears, and you sort of... Uh-huh. Your response, I never know what the name of this emoji is, but you sort of gave it the,
It's Bear Down. It's their song that they sing up there.
Oh, I know that one.
Which other one did I put?
That little thinking emoji,
The thinking emoji, it was interesting to me.
Yeah.
It's interesting because and the reason why I put that is because, look, if you're in Chicago right now, if you're Matt Nagy, if you're Ryan Pace, if you're ownership, okay? And you're thinking, well, let's just forget ownership. Okay, let's just forget them for a second. Let's look at Nagy and Ryan Pace. And you know this is it for you this year. You got to do something. And you definitely have to do something at that quarterback position. Would you be thinking of a way to try and say, look, is there any way possible we could get this guy here? Because I can tell you this. Matt Nagy loves Deshaun Watson. And Matt wasn't in Chicago when Ryan Pace drafted Mitch Trubisky. Matt was still in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
I know he loves Deshaun Watson. I know for a guy right now who sees his future in Chicago teetering on the brink of disaster, you think right now he's not trying like hell to figure out a way to get into the mix in that discussion? I guarantee you he is. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. So that's why I made it. I didn't think of it, when we were talking about it for the show, because they don't have the kind of cap space that a team like Indy or the Jets have, and they don't. So therefore, and they're looking at a situation where maybe the GM and the coach are you know, really sitting there with a very uncertain future. Whereas with these other organizations, when you're talking about the Jets, you're talking about teams like the Colts, I mean, they're set. They're set for the foreseeable future, and they have a very solid direction and a direction that you can see very clearly going out 2, 3, 4 years. And that's why I didn't put Chicago in there. But Chicago's desperate. The head coach and the GM are desperate to figure out the quarterback position. And I'll tell you this. It made me start thinking when that guy tweeted that at me, and knowing Matt like I know him, I know his wheels are turning right now trying to figure out, could I be a player in this? Could I somehow get my name into this? Trust me, he's trying to figure it out.
There you go. Now, look, three number ones and two twos and Jalen, they're going to ask for the freaking moon, and they might even ask for David G.D. Putney because they feel like it. If the Bears want Deshaun Watson, they basically have to go, whatever you need, take it, right?
I just smile when I listen to Lewis Riddick because he wants to work here so bad.
He does.
He wants to be a general manager, but he knows the landscape. He's been on Waddle and Sylvie so much that he knows every intricate part of the front office and the roster.
And what buttons to push. He knows.
He knows.
He's brilliant.
It's just, he would just be the odd guy in the room with what the Bears have with McCaskey and with Ted Phillips and with Ryan Pace. You can just tell that he's just so forward-thinking and so, like, 10 steps ahead of those guys that they would just be sitting there with drool hanging down their lip like, what? He'd be melting the ice age up there in Lake Forest. He's so smart when it comes to the Bears and just football in general.
No question about it. He's a brilliant dude, and he will be a great GM whenever he gets that chance.
Well, so the question, though, is, though, he and we know that Lewis has a relationship with Matt Nagy. They go back. He's
They're
talked about it.
Very good friends.
Yes. And so you wonder when he tells you how much that Matt Nagy likes Deshaun Watson and he's thinking, you know, is there any actual insight, any conversation, any texting that has gone on back and forth between Lewis Riddick and Matt Nagy where we're actually getting some insight into the possibility of what might actually be happening? Because, you know, for the last week or so, we've been talking about it because it's like catnip for us. Deshaun Watson, Pat Mahomes, Mitch Trubisky.
Sure.
Here in Chicago, we know that's going to get the things going. But to hear somebody who has a direct pipeline to Matt Nagy and his ear, you wonder, are they actually trying to make this happen?
Yeah, they have the second oldest defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
They need two new offensive tackles. If you're not bringing Allen Robinson back, you need at least one grade A receiver. And you're probably getting rid of Anthony Miller based on what the owner said to Waddle and Sylvie.
Mm-hmm.
So you need another. We're talking not a fifth round 5'9" guy. You need like a stud. You're going to give away three number ones, two number twos, and a starting corner? I just don't see how you get this done without a young quarterback to trade.
I don't see how you get it done and Watson feeling like he's in a better position. As a football
Great
team.
Point.
Yeah, now that's, to me, the bigger sell. The picks and everything, you're going to have to get something that Houston's willing to make it happen. But Deshaun Watson is the one who ultimately is going to drive this because he has the no-trade clause. And so if he's willing to waive that for a team like the Bears, the Texans, they're in this weird position that they've put themselves in, self-created. Allen Robinson could be brought back, though, Cap. You keep saying you're going to move on. If you trade for Deshaun Watson, there's no reason you need to sever ties with Allen Robinson.
Yeah, I don't think you can afford him.
Miami's a better situation than Chicago.
That I agree with.
It just is. I mean, if you have a no trade clause, you hold the cards. Chicago's not in your mix.
Are you talking Miami's better because they have two at a trade, or because they have a good young team, or they have no state tax, or all of the above?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I figured you'd say. 312-332-3776. If Ryan Pace is able to get the deal done and trade for Watson, would your opinion of the Bears GM change? That and your calls. Next.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
So despite missing on Leonard Floyd, Mitchell Trubisky, Kevin White, if Ryan Pace is able to get the deal done and trade for D. Watson, would your opinion of the Bears GM change? 312-332-3776.
We talk also about athletes in Chicago that had a fall from grace. And KB, Chris Bryant, is probably going to start being in this category here. Number of Cubs could be in that category.
No question.
Just based on them winning the championship and then just not being able to get the job done offensively.
Like if I told you in the World Series of 2016,
yeah,
Kyle Schwarber's coming up with all these big hits and it's the national, it's a worldwide story. Mm-hmm. They're going to release him. They're not even going to pick up his last year that they have control. Just walk away for nothing. You'd be like, no shot.
I would say shot if it was like in 8 or 10 years.
Right.
But not like in the guy's prime.
Like 4 years later.
Yeah.
If I told you Chris Bryant, November 2nd, 2016, ground ball, he slips, fires to Rizzo, Cubs win the World Series. Guess what? He's not going to have any fun playing. And it's going to be like this marriage that's not working anymore. What? Yeah.
Can I get a sneak preview of the new plan? Is that in the new plan? Are you going to write that about Chris?
No shot.
Oh, you're not? Okay. All right. Well, you know, I mean, in your extra chapter, it might be a lot of words. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah, so I've been working on, there's going to be a re-release of the book, The Plan, that I wrote in paperback. And they want a 5,000-word breakdown of why it did not become a dynasty. And, like, every day I'm writing going, hold on a second, I got to rewrite now. Like, Chris saying that yesterday, that wasn't part of what I was writing.
I think you're going to have to add some more. It's going to be more than 5,000. There's a lot to say.
It's a lot.
Because I don't know about the Cubby way right now.
Like, Theo not being there, Chris Bryant unhappy, Schwarber in Washington, they screw up the John Lester situation. Like, what? 4 years later? What?
You know, the Cubs way was easily defined. Right? Mm-hmm. What is it now?
I don't know. It's a great question.
Put that in your little notepad there.
What is the Cubs way now?
Yeah.
To watch guys run off to Washington?
My radio partner asked the question, what is the Cub way? Dot, dot, dot. I don't know.
It's a great... I'm going to put that exact quote in there. 312-332-3776. Let's go to our friend Harding. He's up next. Hey, Harding, what's up, Sparkles?
What's going on, Cap? So,
how you doing, man?
I don't want to go... I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. What's going on, Jay Hood? Hi. I don't want to go too much into the assets of the Bears, but I do want, Cap, I want you to do a monologue here, man. I want you to go Patrick Swayze ghost, jump into the body of Ryan Pace, mm-hmm. and you tell me how a sincere, authentic apology sounds like to Deshaun Watson for the process. Not for not drafting him, because you can do the right things and still pick terribly, but the process and the way that he was handled in the 2017 NFL draft leading up to it, how do you apologize before he waives his no-trade clause? Because it's not happening if he doesn't address, you know, if Ryan Pace doesn't address that situation. It's not going to happen whatsoever. I would not change my opinion on him as a GM, even if he gets him. But go ahead, Cap.
The ultimate apology doesn't even need to be said. If you trade for him and you're giving up three number ones and pick the guy, Jalen Johnson or whoever it is, and Hardy, thanks, man, appreciate you. The ultimate apology is you were wrong. You had to go pay through the nose to get a guy you could have had with your draft pick. That's the ultimate apology. I think so much of you, I'm going to mortgage our future that you are the guy that I think I've seen over the last 4 years in Houston.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate apology.
Danny?
Just following Deshaun Watson recently on social media, I think you're wrong about that, Cap. I think he'd want an apology. Just yesterday he tweeted, if you always there for me, that's a really good look. Like, obviously he's not pointing that at Ryan Pace, but he seems with these cryptic tweets lately on social media that he's maybe a little thin-skinned. Maybe he understands what's going on and he's paying attention to it. And I think he would want Ryan Pace to address to him why he wasn't taken out to dinner.
Oh, I think privately Ryan would say.
But that's what Harding was asking for. Harding was not saying a public apology, but a conversation between Ryan Pace and Deshaun Watson. He would have to address, hey, man, I'm sorry we didn't take you out to dinner. I'm sorry things back in the draft process didn't go right. And I think that's what Harding was asking for, not anything public.
Yeah, I get it. I just think
Go ahead. What are you saying?
You never cease to amaze me.
The ultimate what? Go ahead.
The ultimate apology is I just paid 5 draft picks and a starting player to get you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that says everything. Oh, my God. And then privately, yeah, could he go, look, Deshaun, obviously, I effed this up. That's on me. I'm thrilled you're here now. Accept my apology.
Yeah.
Glad you're with us.
Yeah. And then he says, cool, I'll see you in Miami.
Right. When you get to Miami, look me up.
They're having the same conversation in New York about the Jets, too. They're having the same conversation in a number of markets where they say, man, I think we can make this deal. We can swing this deal. But, you know, it's not even petty. It's about business if you're Deshaun Watson. He can look at Chicago's like, you didn't take me before. I'm just going to try to get me in a place where I can win. He sees the one-loss record like we've seen the one-loss record. Of course, he'd be better for the Bears. But he'd be more dynamic in another place because they got the asset, Tua.
Correct.
I mean, that's the spot right there. A good coaching staff, arrows pointing up for the franchise. The Bears are flatlining.
Assistants running off the ship.
We don't even know if they're going backwards, but we know that they're just flatlining.
Correct.
That's not good enough.
Well said. 312-332-3776. Brian's in Plainfield. Hey, Brian.
Good morning, fellas.
Hi, Brian.
Hey. Hi. I'd like to start off with this. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says that two are better than one. Mm-hmm. And you guys are great together. You know, I enjoy listening to you
all. We appreciate you, Brian.
Thank you.
Very blessed to be next to this guy.
I know you are. But here's the deal. Pace needs to be fired just for this conversation alone. I mean, because he set the Bears organization back a good 10 years. General managers, they earn their money through the draft, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned. You know, it's easy when a guy's in an NFL and has proven himself to say, okay, I'm going to go after him. But in the draft is when you earn your money. And to pass up this guy, to overlook him, you know, it's asinine. You know, so as far as I'm concerned, you know, he owes the Bears an apology. You know, he set them back a good 15 years from the quarterback standpoint and the organizational standpoint. Because I've been watching the Bears since I was a kid. I'm 59. I can't never remember the time they had an opportunity, maybe since Terry Bradshaw, and we saw how that went, to get a quarterback.
Yeah, they lost the coin toss there.
Crazy. Yeah.
Crazy. And they got Lionel Antoine from Southern Illinois.
Yes. Yes.
So thanks, you know, man. So, appreciate the call. Welcome.
Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome.
Have a good day. A great weekend. 312-332-3776. Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, let's talk some more NFL. This is very interesting because it is a football Friday.
It is. Patrick Mahomes was almost a Buffalo Bill. That's next. Plus, we get you ready for championship weekend and your calls. Light them up. Be right back.